Today's just number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Yes, we're good to go. We're back on the show, the second part of the show for today, Dailies Today. You can watch us live on Facebook. We're also live for you on YouTube. Feel free to just type in Nigeria Info 99.3 on those two platforms, and you'll be able to join us. I'm Sheriff Quadri.
Who am I?
Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? I'm over.
Morning, everybody. I'm Jimmy Disu. Good morning.
You're welcome, sir. What's going on?
Ow.
It looks like you're coming down with a cold or something.
Yeah, I think I'm coming down with a whole cold. I hope I can make it through the 30 minutes.
But, yeah.
Okay. We'll see how it goes.
All right, we'll see how it goes then.
But the brain is still ticking.
Yeah. Of course.
And my mouth is not zipped.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Had you been a good host, actually, you know, Sherry, if you should have brought that famous tea of yours.
The tea, Abby?
It's too late.
Where is it, Seth?
Oh, let's go.
I don't have it here. Yeah. Sorry about that. Shall we begin? Let's begin. We're going to start with the Vanguard newspaper, page 7. Assault, Seun Kuti released after 7 days in police detention.
Yeah. I'm very pleased at this. This is his first step to freedom. It's not Uhuru yet, though, because he still has his day in court. I'm hoping that what is making the rounds, I'm a bit worried about the way the police might want to prosecute him. But I'm hoping that the office of the DPP will bring sanity into it, because some of the things I'm seeing, even though I'm not completely sure, but some of the things I've seen confound me, and I think this thing could, like a lawyer said, who's this lawyer now? He is the welfare secretary of the Nigerian Bar Association, and he said that Nigeria is a country of laws. Seun Kuti is under the custody of the police for allegedly slapping a policeman. No one should be above the law, granted. And he says that ordinarily, being a case of alleged assault, it only requires a summary trial at the magistrate's court under the 1992 constitution. Any person arrested should be charged to court within a reasonable time. 24 hours is a very reasonable time in this context, except that the police want to get his own pound of flesh with the long and unjustified detention of Kuti. I fail to see any legal justification for the remand order, particularly when he voluntarily steps to the police. I expect that by now the DPP of Lagos State would have taken over the proceedings at the magistrate's court, since the police has refused to hand over the case file to the DPP, which itself is a disobedience to the order of the court. The judiciary should refuse to be a willing tool in any attempt to breach the fundamental rights of Seun Kuti. He is still presumed innocent by the Constitution of Nigeria and must be treated decently and with dignity. It is likely that the way the police is handling the matter, it may soon lose public sympathy. They should stop the dramatization. Those are also my thoughts. The police need to be very careful. This shouldn't be seen as a vendetta. We have all condemned what Seun has done. I'm sure he's ready to take his punishment like a man. But don't let's, you know, we hear something to the effect that, okay, maybe the policeman is now in a coma, and they're going to, this likely to be charged with attempted murder and all these things. We'll see how it goes. Now, I don't know if many people know the kind of losses that Seun Kuti has experienced in all this. Apart from his freedom and being away from his wife and child and fans and so on and so forth, he had some concerts lined up for the May, June, and I think a bit of July. Loads and loads and loads of concerts. That's a real heavy loss of income for him. And it is in that wise I would like to advise fans, friends, and so on and so forth, not to complicate Seun's case. Let him have his day in court, and let's see how we can take up from there. Possibly if the case is adjourned, you know, for some kind of period, he might be able to make some of the concerts that he has lined up for him. So this is not a time for people to now jump on the wagon and try to get their own part of popularity by staging demonstrations and things like that. I think the earlier we dispose of this case and Seun can go back to his normal life, whichever way it turns out, I think the better it would be, because I'm seeing that supporters went to the courts to protest, to do this and to do that. It's not every time that we, you know, that situations demand that you protest. Some situations demand that you negotiate your way out of it. It depends to a large extent on what the subject himself wants to make of it. If this is, for example, Shane wants to be a full-time activist and this is the beginning of it, fair enough, I have no problem with that. But he has a lot of thinking to do. He should ask himself what has happened, including his dad. How did it all end up, you know? Fela's travels were mainly caused by other people, not him. That was the most painful thing. Fela fought for people. He fought for, you know, both the currency case, both the Kalakuta burning and things like that. Anybody who has a sense of history, Fela got into trouble mainly because of other people's whatever. And I don't think that she would want the, you know, would want that to happen to him. I'll advise Shehu to keep off interviews, keep off social media, you know, just try and let's end this quietly, because he has a child to raise, he has a family to feed. And even though people will be urging you on, I'd like him to remember, I'm sure he knows, he probably wasn't born, I don't know if he was born then, but he probably would have read somewhere, when Fela said that, when he came out, at least he told me, it's in the book that I wrote, that when he came out of the court, and he thought that, okay, the whole town would erupt. He came out after he was sentenced, he put up his arms, even those living in his own house. You know, he was surprised to see, you know, they couldn't put their hands up, everybody was afraid. Shehu Kuti should learn one lesson in life, and I would tell him just this once, like they say, what's this TV skit that you have, I will tell you only once. In life, you are on your own. Don't be deceived by what's going on around you. At the end of the day, you are on your own, and I wish him all the best of luck. I'd like the police again. Okay, so you've had your pound of flesh already anyway. I think this is probably now the time to stop before this thing gets out of hand.
You can watch us live on Facebook. You can also watch us on YouTube as well. Nigeria Info 99.3 is how you can join us. Let's know what you think on these stories that we are treating this morning. Let's go to page 9 of the Vanguard newspaper. UK effects ban on Nigerian students, others from bringing families.
So what? I heard your program this morning, and I don't know who is going to cop us of this sense of entitlement that we have. Some people were already going on a rampage. This is cruelty. It is this. It is that. Excuse me. You are a student. If you say you're a student, you're going to study. You're going there to do what? To study. You're not going there to raise a family. And that's the truth. And because we must learn that every country has to protect its own interests. Every human being who is in the United Kingdom is accounted for and enjoys some services, and they've been overblown. They haven't said Nigerian students shouldn't come. What they say is that you cannot bring your family. So if na book, you go read the book, go back. And then why not stay and develop your own country so you don't even need to go to the UK in the first instance? I was very, very embarrassed by some of the reactions that I got this morning. This sense of entitlement we have about other people's things, we must try to put an end to it. The United Kingdom have said, if you want to come and study, because it's been abused, really. It's been seriously abused. You've had about 6, 7, 8, 10 people hang on one student. Has anybody ever tried to wonder what it's like to get a visa to Nigeria? Or more? If you try to get a visa to Nigeria, it's just as, in fact, it's 10 times more difficult. It's just that, of course, you have less people who would want to do that. So what it is that if you were planning to go and use this as a means of jackpotting, that door is closed. If you're a bona fide student, you get your admission, you pay your fees, and of course you'll be allowed to go. I think that maybe, I suspect that you might, if you're married, you might be able to put up a case for your wife, but it won't be stated here. But I think that might help. If your wife would then apply for a visa to say that, look, I want to go see my husband. But this idea of taking wife, children, mother-in-law, for Omugo and all these things is not going to happen. We must learn to develop our own country and stop stretching our necks at other countries. We must learn to fight to make our own country just as good. There was a time nobody wanted to go to the UK. I got admission to go to America way back with full scholarship in 1975. I didn't go. I just refused to go. And of course, having been born in the UK, I've never jackpot, go holiday, come back, that's it. I'm proud of my country. It's not a developed country, it's not the UK, but I'm still proud of my country. Because the truth is this, at the end of the day, you can take yourself out of your country, but you cannot take your country out of you. It's not going to happen. So let's learn that now. Let's all wait back here. Let's try as much as possible to get our own country kicking and going and stop running away at the slightest. As soon as the election started, I know some people who ran away. Just because you want to vote, kilo day, they're still not back. No, let me wait a little bit so that this swearing, especially our elite, you know, the person will get plenty of money, not go one die.
I have a message here, though, from Adeyemi Johnson, who says, Uncle Jimmy, let our government do the needful. Our educational system is zero. Standard of living is zero. Nigeria is a zero island. I'm in the UK, and I can tell the difference.
Well, look, to be honest with you, our educational system is not zero. It could be much, much better, but it's not every time we condemn what we have. Nigerians are doing very well. The Ogunlesi, who runs Gatwick Airport, went to Lasu, if I'm right. I think he went to Lasu. My doctor in the UK went to University of Lagos and University of Benin, and is one of the best doctors in the Croydon area. I mean, so don't let's always think that, whatever we produce is not good. No, I don't think so. I refuse to take that, it's not good enough. Granted, it's not good enough. Definitely, it could be better. It's difficult. Some people would now tell you, if you look at things very, very critically, sometimes you get better medical help there than you get over there. I can tell you that. Sometimes, not all the time. Sometimes. Well, depending again on the sickness. You need to be open-minded as a Nigerian, in all honesty. And don't just take everything with one full sweep. We have fantastic graduates here, even from the federal universities, even from the private universities. Pan-African University, these are solid universities that can hold their own. So don't let's just come on radio every time and in one fell swoop say that, we must have that attitude to build our own. If they could do it in Rwanda on that short a period, what is stopping us? But the process starts from choosing the right leaders. You go on Twitter and support people who should be stepping aside for the younger ones so that we can have a new dispensation, and then you turn around to condemn your own country. It's not going to work. Most of the people to blame are the young people. Where are they? What have they done? In that sense. Do you understand what I'm saying? We must sit back. You can't be running, looking out, all stretching. And guess what? Nigerians are ready to go to any other country but Nigeria. Some of the countries you go to, I don't want to run down any country. But I mean, where we had to evacuate people from, I'd rather go to UNILAG than, you understand what I'm saying? OTA, OTA, no? You get it, right? OTA. You know, so let's, our country will only get better if all of us are involved. But if you continue to leave this country to the same set of people, the same set of people. Next week now, we are going to have a new cabinet. We are going to have a new president. We are going to have a new cabinet. It will be business as usual unless something else changes. The names that are cropping up are the same names that have been 20, 30 years. If you are doing something the same way over over time, you are going to get the same results.
The same results.
For you, the young people now should concentrate on making sure it's not just elections. If you have a government, you must put pressure on the government to make sure that change takes place. Change is not so much about personnel. It's about the pressure that we, the people, put on our leaders.
Right.
To say, no. Let's have a new set. Left to me, I wouldn't want to see any minister that is above 50. Left to me, because these same people had responsible positions when they were in their 40s. Left to me, I would, if I hope the president-elect would do something like that. I wouldn't, anybody over 50, we need something new. We can't continue along the same old path. And so that's my where did we start from? So we started from this
the UK thing.
The UK thing. Right. So that's where I stand on that.
I have this other one here on the other page, page 10 of the Vanguard newspaper.
Yes.
Yoruba monarch set agenda for Tinubu, say May 29 inauguration sacrosanct.
Okay, so the story here says that traditional rulers under the aegis of Yoruba Obas Forum, incoming administration of Ashiwaji Tinubu to grant constitutional roles to monarchs. There's an interesting one, and I will just read it and I will not comment. They say, We have the following amongst the things. This is, we have the following 8-point agenda for the incoming administration as a template, which includes, are you listening, Mr. Sheriff?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
At Sheriff Shengbo.
Yes, sir.
Clear constitutional rules for traditional rulers as fourth tier of government. But remember that you don't vote for traditional rulers, but they want to be fourth tier of government, or replace the existing local government authorities with local councils under traditional rulers. Are we going to start voting for our obas? Question. The government must apportion. I'm reading this from the Vanguard.
Okay.
Why are you holding your seat? You want to jump up?
Nah.
The government must apportion at least 50% of the security votes to the traditional rulers to effectively oversee the security affairs of each domain in conjunction with traditional native and other government security apparatus. So they want 50% of the 50% of security vote. That's cash, that's money. So that they can also use it to secure. I don't know how they calculated the 50%, but that's what they are demanding. Any comments on that, Mr. Sheriff?
Not at all, sir.
You don't want to?
We shall meet in court.
Who are you suing?
We shall all meet in court.
Well, I mean, you know, no disrespect, but I am a bit embarrassed at this.
Why?
I can talk for myself. If I'm embarrassed, I'm embarrassed. I don't have to explain to you.
Why are you embarrassed? Who embarrassed you?
But how do you? How, I don't know. Why I'm embarrassed is, there are a lot of contradictions in this demand. You want to be some tier of government, but usually you're appointees, you're not elected. That's one. And then I don't know, why not just say that you'd like to, you know, to be funded or whatever.
To be honest,
but you want 50% of the security votes.
No offense to the Guardian, Vanguard. Yeah.
Yes.
I think this is fake news.
No, it was in the papers yesterday.
It's still fake news.
You reckon?
The traditional lawyers cannot say they want to replace local governments now. This has got to be fake news.
It is written by Shino.
Much respect.
It was in the papers yesterday.
Mr. Shino, much respect to you, but it is unbelievable.
Which of the two that they want to be part of the tier of government?
Why would traditional rulers want to be fourth tier of government? Why would they want to take 50% of it? Why would they want to replace local council? I mean,
How did they calculate the 50%?
I have no idea. I think... I can't even process it.
But the other things they said, to be fair to them, they talked about diversification of the economy. But the main, what I find interesting here is where they want to be the fourth tier of government, and they're also asking for 50% of, let me read it again, the government must apportion at least 50% of security vote. I had Fola Thowori here about, I think I had him about 2-3 years ago, maybe not here, on one of my programs. I think I have to bring him in again to explain this issue of what exactly is it. Do you know that? Is security vote budgeted? When I look through government budgets, I've never seen anything that talks about security vote.
I
know is that there are some billions of naira stashed probably somewhere, only God knows, maybe in the clouds. and maybe it's an endless budget. But even the president of the National Association of Nigerian Students, I think, some years back, I don't know about now, he too had security vote. It's become the norm.
Yeah, yeah.
It's become the norm.
Yeah, and no governor wants to talk about it.
No governor
wants to. They shy away from discussing it. The much anticipation about governors coming to explain how security votes have been expended.
We don't know.
Nobody can say exactly. Because these monies are unaccounted for.
Yes, and usually in cash.
Usually in cash.
Asa, you know that this job I'm doing has security implications. I too have one security vote. You may not offer security vote. I want.
In fact, yeah, I think all broadcasters should have security votes.
Well, I don't want to go. I want security, but I have to be careful because this is where you're going to go.
You get security vote, then you can spend it however you want to spend. You can hire like 50 bodyguards.
But you see, Sheriff, let's now get serious. The implications of this thing show a deeper problem that we have. I can't delve into it in full, but it shows a deeper problem with the mindset of the Nigerian.
Why can't you deal with it?
A time.
Okay.
And time and the sensitivity. I don't want to, in this particular case, I don't want to go heads on. But it shows a deeper problem in the thoughts of the average Nigerian. That people will get together and ask for 50% of a budget. You are not saying that you want the security funded. You are asking, as a matter of right, for 50%.
I can't believe it.
It shows that we have a much deeper problem than you and I would want to acknowledge. But that's heaven help all of us. That's
indeed. Let's see if we can take this story in 2 minutes or three. Southeast governors name second Niger Bridge after Buhari.
Well, there's nothing to review there. Congratulations. Buhari completed the Niger Bridge, and I'm happy for my friends and brothers in the East. My good friend, I always mention him because he's my best friend from the East, Emmanuel Cook. I remember 1 year, he slept at the Asaba End. Oh. He spent his Christmas, he was going for Christmas. Yes, many years ago, I remember him telling me that he had to sleep. And it took so long for this to happen. And I think whether you like it or not, is a credit to Buhari. To Buhari's government, at least, for having brought some relief to the East. Have you ever been to the East, though?
No, I have not.
You can't cross to the East.
I have not.
You can't cross to the East unless you go through the Niger Bridge. Mm. Unless you have to go through Benue, some other longer whatever. But, so I have a fair sense of what this means. The only thing is, I wonder why he didn't go himself.
Yeah.
If he came to Dangote, he should have gone there. Why did he do it?
I think there was another event yesterday in Abuja, the Customs House.
But this
he,
is
he
more,
was
this
he was there.
This is more important politically than the Customs House.
Maybe.
And then look, it brings to mind what I thought this morning. We need to sit down one day, Sheriff, you and I, and have a session on this idea of commissioning. Because I heard that the president-elect is going to recommission the Lagos-Ibadan. That doesn't make sense. The road is renovated. The road has been built. We need to apply a bit of sensitivity to this idea of commissioning this. Even Wike had this thing called flag off. It's all nonsense. It's a renovation. But that's a story for another day. Since you said we have just 1 minute and we don't have time to delve into it. But I think that politically the president should have gone.
Should have been there physically.
Except there were security concerns.
Because I also think that it's a very huge project. God knows how long.
It's very, very significant.
Very, very significant.
Much more. Customs House, there'll always be this house or that house. You don't need to. Customs House can be commissioned by the Customs Director General. It cuts the tape and that's it.
We need to go now. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Today is Diabumi. Who is coming on Diabumi?
With the way I'm sounding, I'm not too sure.
Okay, all right. Let's go now. Thank you so much, sir. We'll take this break. When we return, we'll analyze Buhari's government, what he's done in the last 8 years in the area of power. Aditya Adebinle will be joining me at the time. Stay here.
Whenever I tell people I'm a full-time master's student and a content creator, they go, huh? How are you able to do both all at once? You be witch? No be juju. Na MTN 5G. Ever since 5G came into...
And I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired, get fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. Now, what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not a Chelsea.